clock started counting already, so it means that it's past noon. My name is Albert, and I work in the Link team, or as we now call Skype. I thank you all for coming. I want to first start with setting expectations. This is a level 200 session, and I'm actually going to do demos. And if you know one thing, I have to apologize. Doing demos is always a risky thing here at trade shows. So I ask for forgiveness in advance. And in those demos, I would like to show effectively the evolution of how Link and Skype is coming to be and what actually we are, in what direction we are heading. So I effectively would like to take you on a journey showing off my gray hair and essentially showing all the different things that we went through. I literally joined Microsoft about 11 years ago when we started thinking about communications, and therefore I literally can talk from my own experience on what all the things that we did and what are all the mistakes that we did. Now, the first question that I would like to ask you is, how many of you are developers? That is going to be a disappointing session for you sometimes. And the reason why is because I'm not going to show any code. I'm only going to show essentially the stuff, what you can do with the APIs. So if you want to go to another session instead of giving me a bad score. But tomorrow there will be a session in which we actually will show what the API, the new APIs is about in new. So we are effectively, what we are going to do is show you all the use cases of the platform. Now, how many of you are IT admins that are wondering, hey, I've got this or that to fix in Link, and how can I do that? What are the things that you would like to fix, for example?
Well, I would like to have a combination where you can use your mobile phone with Link and have a fully, platform calling from standard phones to Link phones, etc.
So I repeat for the recording, there are two elements to what the answer was. First of all, I would like to have Link actually go into the space of mobile and be able to do Link on mobile and do those things in mobile apps. Tomorrow's session, definitely worth visiting. We are going to talk there about our new UC Web API, which has nothing to do with the web, but everything to do with web technologies. And it's very much targeting that mobile space. And the second part was, hey, I would like to connect up to all the telephony stuff. And I'm actually going to show you quite a few of the inner workings of those APIs that we have that allow you to actually connect to that. And I saw another hand. Any other suggestions of what we need to address? All right. Then let me start the presentation formally. 5 minutes in, and already I've... So when we started in Microsoft to think about getting into communications, the most funny thing happened because essentially there were a bunch of researchers, and those researchers, they built a precursor of what is known later as the sidebar. So they had little gadgets on the desktop, and those little gadgets, one of them actually controlled the phone. So in other words, we had an intercom PBX at Microsoft, and when you were in Microsoft, the utility that they let you load as a prototype was an ability to actually control your desktop phone that was connected to an old-style telephone. And it made people realize in Microsoft that, hey, and I'm now talking about the year 2000, 2001, if we actually look at where Microsoft is strong in, we are strong in Windows, Office was pretty well established, server and tools was just starting, but they came up with this idea like Microsoft needs to go in telephony, because when you are on your desktop, whenever the phone rings, there is this, you swivel over and you have to pick up your phone, and there was no way to actually bridge those two worlds. So there were some very highly paid people who came up with a very intelligent plan, and they were starting to think about Microsoft has to enter into the telephony space. And the first proposal that they did, so twice a year, there would be Bill Gates himself would come to your group, and you would present to him in the so-called Bill G reviews, and they had this proposal that we effectively, as Microsoft, would build a PBX. There was even thought about, okay, what if we buy an Avaya or if we buy a Nortel or whatever? And Bill Gates himself, he got extremely agitated. Extremely like, guys, what's going on here? Right? He literally banged his hand on the desk and said, what, guys, what is our strategy? And I tell this anecdote because the answer that he gave was actually, to me, the most biggest revelation. The highly paid people tried to give him a very intelligent answer, and he got only more angry, and he said, no, our strategy is software. And that actually sent those people back to the drawing board. And by the way, the most funny thing came one moment after, because what he asked thereafter was, and what is our strategy 3 years from now? And then he said, no one dared to speak anymore. He said, more software. And that exactly is the journey that we are on. So the journey that we are on as Microsoft was very much related to how can you completely, fundamentally rethink communications as being a part of that software that is part, at that point in time, of that Windows desktop. How can you make, effectively, communications embedded in every application? Or, as we nerds say, how can you turn every application into an endpoint? He put in charge a guy called Gurdip Singh Pal, who actually started working on this. So he had a small team. He came from the networking side of Windows. And he started developing what he called a unified communications platform. And in October 2006, we did, as Microsoft, our very first announcement that we were going in the space of unified communications. What was namely his analysis? His analysis was that if you looked at the world at that point in time, every mode of communications was its own silo. Yes, you had telephony, and yes, you had fax, and yes, you had things like voicemail, and every enterprise would buy those systems separately, and they had a very hard time talking to each other. So when this guy actually started designing the new system, which we now know as Link, at that very moment, what happened was that he thought that the competitive advantage that we could create is that if you would be able to move from one modality to the other modality seamlessly, so essentially go from IM to a voice call, to a video call, to an application sharing on one piece of software, and effectively by just choosing different attributes in your classes, by essentially starting new modalities. And that is the platform that he started building. And in October 2006, Microsoft used in a press release that I personally drafted, which was, by the way, about sunsetting the Speed Server product. He said, we are sunsetting Speed Server because an IVR in its isolation, those days are gone. We are moving into the unified communication space. And in unified communications, of course, you can do IVR. But it will be part of this unified platform. In October 2007, we launched Office Communication Server 2007. And that was this unified communications platform. And the most shocking thing, apart from being a leader in the magic quadrant before the product was released of Gartner, which was a feat in itself, was the shocking thing was that no one of you guys wanted to buy that. We had an incredible dud on our hands, because if you're looking at what the market wants, is a telephone. So at this very moment, we had to radically rethink what we had been doing. And from OCS 2007 to Link 2010, most of our engineers have effectively been building telephony features. Now, coming back to the API space, I spoke about that we wanted to be turning every application into a communications endpoint. How many of you are using Link or OCS or everyone? So what is the first thing that you will notice that you have Link installed? It is that presence bubble in Outlook. So when we are looking at our evolution of our platform, the first thing that we actually started working on was integrating presence in every application. Based on WPF and Silverlight, we built controls that are drag and drop and could be embedded in every Windows application that you could think of. Of course, as long as it was the traditional Windows. I'll come back to that in a moment. And that's the controls that you see if you are looking at an application. Like, for example, here is what we call the proposal tracker. In front of every name, you've got this presence bubble. And in this presence bubble, you can have the contact card. And you can have in that contact card the details of that particular person. And you can also have your My status over here, which is exactly the same as what you have here. So the moment, and my Exchange server is down. So the moment that I set myself to available over here, you can see this guy goes to available as well. And if I set myself to busy, then of course, Link is busy as well. If I've got frequent contacts or favorites, then those are the same as the ones that I have over here. And of course, I can show them as a one line as well, so that they look more or less the same. So embedding communications inside the application was the number one priority that we had at that very moment. This was, or this is, what is now known as the Link Managed API. And embedding presence was as easy as dragging and dropping controls into your own application. So if this is my little Silverlight application, note we are talking 2007, it was literally, okay, hey, if you built your Silverlight, high day of our ambition with Silverlight, you just drag and drop them. And you could not only imitate to build your own communicator, like what we have done here, which essentially is just a copy of what you have over here in the middle. I should not start pointing at my screen because that is not very visible for you. But you also could do it more context specific. And that actually leads to a next thing. If you want to optimize communications between people, the platform should actually allow you to use that benefit that we are software in our communication. So in other words, if I am talking to someone, given the fact that this is now a unified communications platform, I actually can use that channel that I have, that data channel from one person to the other person, or from multiple persons to each other, I can actually transmit more than just an IM, or a voice call, or a video call. So when you guys are thinking about building applications and looking at our APIs, to actually transmit what we call contextual data from one person to another person is something that could bring people very, very quickly on the same page. So in other words, you have not only a data channel through which you can transfer traditional communications, but you actually can also transfer more rich context. Let me actually illustrate that, right? So here I've got my website, and it's showing all kinds of data about the project City Power and Light, and I've got those bubbles with people here, and I've got other stuff, and I cannot scroll because I have high font type here. But if I would like to speak to, for example, this lady, Emma Liao, and I click on this one, and it always comes up here behind, I do not know why. And this actually, just for the demo purposes, is a bot. I will come back to that in a moment. So I need to say hi to her. What happens at this very moment is that I'm actually transmitting context to the other side. What you see on the right-hand side is that I've got this data channel that I can actually use to push data to the other person so that that other person does not need to go to another web page and open it and get that context. I'll translate that if you are, for example, a developer. If you are a developer at that very moment that you are talking about certain classes in your code and you've got a question to the person who originally wrote that, whose code you are maintaining, what is more handy than to send that code snippet that you are looking at immediately to the other person when you are asking via that instant message an actual piece of the code that you are having your question on. So in other words, that same amount of puppets is also visible now on the other side. So if Emma were a real person, that conversation window extension, as we call it, it would open up and you would immediately see what you're talking about. Now, imagine how this could be useful in your enterprise, right? So if you are a company and you've got approvals to do, you can transmit the approval that needs to be done immediately in that window. And now this bot is a bot, and that's another part of our platform. And a bot essentially is a piece of code that can simulate being a human person. And this bot is now bugging me and asking me, how may I help you? Are you still there? And I can ask this bot questions. That is a second capability of our platform. Not only you can transmit context, but you can actually automate frequently asked questions. So if I start with a word like, for example, are we on schedule? That bot actually can understand that word schedule, and it can respond to me, yes, we are on track to be on time. Now, the brilliant thing about this API was that if you are talking about this conversation window extension, you can actually do intelligent stuff with the stuff that is being communicated. Now, this was a very simple transmission of the word schedule. But you, for example, I'm a Dutch-speaking person, right? I come from the Netherlands. If I were to speak Dutch and Emma were still to speak English, you can actually build in this conversation window other extensions. And one of those extensions that we have is, for example, a conversation translator. Would be nice if it loads. Yep. And in the conversation translator, I can configure which language I'm speaking. I'm speaking Dutch. And which language the recipient is speaking. With other words, that window that you had on the right-hand side, which is a Silverlight or an HTML application, is essentially a Trident browser that you have, and you can in the registry set what version of the Internet Explorer actually is running in that little window. What I have here is the capability to not only enter data into it, but I have the capability of transmitting data, namely the word schedule in a moment, or the word, I'm going to use the word begroting, which means budget. I'm able to actually put it in the conversation that is going via that link client. So with other words, and actually let me do a preview before sending. So the moment that I type something here, like begroting, and I translate it, it translates it as budget. And what happens if I send the message? It actually moves it from this space into this space. It transmits the word budget, and it actually says, yes, we are actually coming in below budget. Now, this is the most simple example that you can have of how effectively you can interact with the communication. There are other use cases for this as well. For example, we are using this in persistent chat. How many of you are using persistent chat in Link? A few do. In there, you've got what they call a structured input-output panel. That is the same as this conversation window extension. And what you do typically if you build applications there, in persistent chat, you cannot follow all those dialogues that are going on, and you cannot actually be alert all the time. So what they do is essentially, very typically in those SIOPs, those structured input-output panels, they are giving you an ability to filter what you are listening for. Not a filter in itself, but for example, you can make a word graph. And if you would like to actually read all the conversations that have taken place over a specific period of time, like the last 24 hours, you can click on that word and it will just filter out everywhere where in all those persistent communications between your people, that word has been mentioned. So that interaction between the communications that have been or the communications that are actually going on and that panel is something that that Link managed API is able to give you. Now, let me actually show you one other capability. We all know presence. And when you were on Messenger, it was a very simple world. Actually, now if you're on Skype, it's an even more simple world. You effectively are busy, away, and available. Or actually, I think Skype calls it Do Not Disturb even. So, with other words, it is a very, at first sight, it is a very static way of how to represent what your present state is. But what many people do not know is that in Link, this actually is an API. So in the API space that we have, there is a present schema. And in this present schema, there is a relatively sophisticated way of how to build a matrix of not only the states that you are in. Let me actually represent that a little bit. Here on the left-hand side, in front of this person, you've got the color busy, that is red. And if I go to available, so like, for example, this guy is available. However, if you look at the string of this particular person, she has not only the status busy, but she also has the status of helping a customer. So in other words, that API that we have there on the, around that present schema is allowing you to enable to do whatever customization that you want. And I will show you that in greater detail in a second. But effectively, we have got an API that allows you to set custom present states. Now, if you're, for example, in a contact center, you could be busy helping a customer like this person. But if I were, for example, watching a movie, and there's a little utility that I built for this based on the Unified Communications Managed API, which is a server-side API, this is the essence of presence. Let's hope that it pops up. This is an application written in .NET. Toop, 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 toop. Let me actually show it here for the first time until it comes up. So this guy is now saying all the time, are you still there? Are you still there? So let's actually say goodbye. Now, what you need to take a look at is that this present string at the moment, programmatically, that I actually enter this word goodbye, it changes into available, helping another customer. And I do not know why my little utility is not coming up at the moment, but with other words, you have a schema, and in that schema, you've got that little bar on the side, which effectively reflects the available, busy, and away. And you have got the actual string that you can give. And actually, in OCS 2007 till Link 2010, you can even change the picture as well. So let me try one more time. Oh, here it is. Here we've got. This is a tricky one. So I'm logging in. Did I spell it correctly? Use my Windows credentials. Let's hope that it works. Is it possible to hack into the so you're asking, hey, actually, I'm not talking about Link, but actually about the translations. Can I actually influence the translations? In this particular case, we are using the Bing translator. If you download the code of this sample, which is in the sample, you can point it to whatever translation engine that you want. So if you have a more accurate TNO translator in the Netherlands or whatever company is there, you actually can swap it out. You just need a web API to actually get those words in and out. There are very sophisticated translation programs as well that you actually can put in there. Now, with other words, that hopefully answered your question. But yes, it's possible. Not our API space, though. You just point it somewhere, send something, get something back, points it back into the dialogue. So here I've got this status of presence. Let me actually see if Tosh is a friend of mine. Yeah, Tosh. So Albert Koyman actually is available and is working for Microsoft. But I actually can set myself, for example, to do not disturb presenting. So this is the color that I have on the left-hand side of this picture. And this is the string that I'm going to set my present status to. And here, if I would have a Link 2010, I actually can put the image in there as well. That API changed slightly, and we did not update it yet. But the moment that I press publish, it actually changes it into busy. And because in Microsoft, in Link, you have the change of privacy relationship. If I have not trusted Tosh enough, I'm only transmitting very high-level information and not this exact string of who the person is that, with other words, let me rephrase that. So if I do not really trust the person who is outside of my company, they will not see the exact string of what I'm publishing. But the moment that I am actually logging in as someone else, then at that very, and I'm in the same domain, you would actually be able to see here, do not disturb presenting. So anyone in Microsoft does now see do not disturb presenting. So let me actually see, for example. And this I have not to use. I actually do not know. I do not know what my server is. So the point that I'm trying to make is that we have an API. That API is able to set the state of the presence at the high level to change the present string, and you actually be able to influence that depending on what task you are effectively fulfilling. So the moment that I would like to say away, I'm playing the drums, and I press publish, at this very moment, my status here goes to away, and it will actually be able to, anyone in Microsoft now would see me playing the drums. However, I'm presenting, so let's actually stick with this status. Now, where you can use this as well is, for example, if you would like to programmatically tell people that you're in a call or you're in a meeting. Like in Microsoft itself, we are using this to express that we, if you have a calendar appointment, that you're busy in the meeting. All right, we are still at OCS 2007. We wanted to enable building in presence into any application. And we wanted to build in, one second, we wanted to build in the click to call. You have a question. If you watch my URLs, yes. This particular code we just wrote on, but we can share. Yes. So most of the code actually is in the SDKs, but this is effectively a small combination of some other projects that we had where you had the login screen and nice WPF and so on. But it's a relatively simple API. All right. OCS 2007. Now comes OCS 2007 R2 and Link 2010. I told you that when we launched the product OCS 2007, it was not the success that we hoped for. I think that any company, any software company who would do the revenue that we did at that point in time would still be very happy, but the feedback from our customers unanimously was, we want a telephony product. Now, what do you do if you want a telephony product? You have to have telephony APIs. And that's what effectively happened thereafter. We started investing an incredible amount of time in an API called the Unified Communications Managed API. And that API essentially is the cornerstone of the product as it is now. It is the foundation on which Link itself is built. So the speed server that I mentioned earlier, the IVR, was built on the Unified Communications Managed API 1.0. If you're now looking at Link and you look, for example, at the response groups or at the audio conferencing bridge or at anything that effectively powers that hooking into that telecom, into that telephony environment, that is built on the Unified Communications Managed API. What happened was, at that very moment, that we started thinking about the next generation of our product, so OCS 2007 R2, I had scheduled a two-day meeting with Gartner. And I wanted to convince them that we were actually very, very capable of doing telephony. And having come from this telephony background, I started in the whole IVR space in 1995, what was the most enlightening thing that I could show to those people is if we would be able to do contact center. Now, I do not know how many of you are using a contact center. It's pretty complex, right? It's not very, very easy to actually build a contact center. However, I went to my engineers, the peers of Alex, who's sitting here in front, and this was literally the first week of December, and I said, hey, on the 10th of January, I've got Gartner coming, and they want to see a contact center on Link, or on OCS 2007 R2. So my dev said, "Hey, that's easy," and I said, "Oh, why is that easy?" And literally over the Christmas holiday, two guys built a demo in which they effectively showed concepts that I would like to illustrate now, that are showing how we effectively decoupled the signaling part, effectively the phone ringing, from all the media paths. So, with other words, in the Unified Communications Managed API, you have a representation in C# of what we in telephony call signaling. That's what makes the phone ring, right? And in order to do contact center, you have concepts there, like, for example, that you would like to listen in. So you would like to supervise the calls that are going on. You would like to do call transfers. You would like to essentially be able to coach an agent without the customer listening to it. So the API that we had was actually capable of doing all those things. So what our developers did is they built a contact center app that essentially made it into the Unified Communications Managed API. And that contact center app looks more or less like this one. We built a store. And in this store, you have got customers, and those customers would like to speak to a customer representative. We are unified communications. So the first modality that we wanted to start with in this demo was the actual modality of text, the web chat. In other words, if you are doing a web chat and you've got a web page, it should be possible to actually start a conversation. Now you can see here, if you look at this application, every phone has a link. Click to chat with an expert. What was namely the thing that we are trying to achieve is that if you have context, now knowing that this is not an ordinary phone call that goes over an analog line, in which you maybe would be able to do something like what we call inline signaling by sending over DTMF tones, you actually had the capability of sending real text from one end of the conversation all the way to the other end of the conversation. A little bit like when I showed those bubbles of those people in that conversation window extension. So we thought, why would we need to have a customer go through this IVR, this interactive voice response, like press one for this, press two for that? If you actually know that when a person clicks on this particular product, you actually know what product those people are interested in. So in other words, if I click on this particular phone here and click on chat with an expert, and again, this is 2008, I think, that we built this, so Silverlight still king. I have a customer that pops up this Silverlight window, talks to a WCF service, and has now transmitted in a URL that this person is interested in a Nokia phone. Now, you can ask for details about this particular customer, or you can not. You could have put in a phone number. However, this gateway, voice over IP gateway that we have only is able to do American numbers. So I'm going to do a little bit of a trick. Who are you locked in as at the moment?
Manish.
Manish?
Yeah.
So I'm faking it here a little bit, but you will see in a moment why this is important. The moment that I say OK, you can see that it is skipping all the questions about which phone I'm interested in, because I was able to hand off that parameter of that this was a person interested in a Nokia phone all the way through the web page, through the WCF service, to the link server, to the ACD, that is an automatic call distributor that actually knows what queues there are with specialties of different agents. And now it is effectively, if this were an audio call, you would hear music on hold. You're in a queue, you're waiting. Now, luckily, I'm an agent. This agent is called Tosh Meston. And Tosh actually is a specialist in Nokia phones. So now what happens, as this guy actually becomes available, and I've set myself too busy here manually, you will see that there is a pop-up that Link presents from the ACD on... Oops, I have 15 seconds here. Would you like to take the call? I answer yes. Ha! There's something wrong in my little demo app. You can see it was written over the Christmas holiday. Nevertheless. But what is the brilliant thing here is that you actually have transmitted not only that this person is interested in that Nokia phone, you actually now can, because of that correlation of the data, you can pull up the data and you can actually display it in that conversation window and extension what this customer is interested in. So in this particular case, I'm now connected to the customer. Let me actually show that side by side. And I can say hi. What you see here now is not about the hi that I want to talk about, because that is pretty straightforward. But what you can see here is another feature that is very common in contact center. And that is what we call agent anonymization. You do not want Tosh and Tosh's name in particular cases to be transmitted to the customer. You would like to anonymize this. So what is implemented here is one of those classes that we have in our code, which is called a back-to-back user agent, that effectively filters out the name Tosh and puts in this anonymous, more natural thing of Matteo agent to the customer. And at this very moment, I can type something back and forth. I have effectively established a connection. So the hi comes now back from the web user. You remember, however, just a second ago, by the way, that I was an anonymous user. That's why it says web user. Otherwise, it would have transmitted my name if I put it in there. The cool thing about this one is that you actually are now in what we call a conference. The whole concept on which we have built our contact center is exactly the same as what you know from a link meeting. So in a link meeting, you actually are all together, but there is an actual anchor point in which we do the mixing of all the different endpoints. We call that a trusted user conference. It's a programming concept in which whatever resource that you need is at the moment that your workflow requires this, is being conferenced in into that conference. In a moment, I will show an audio call. And the first resource that you need when you are doing an audio call, it actually will come with the IVR. At that very moment, the application workflow decides, let's check out an IVR resource and start asking the questions via that IVR resource through that conference to the person who is calling, the customer that's calling. Now, if you know that this is a conference in which you actually can anchor in communication endpoints, you also can understand that this is something that is very easily to control with buttons that you have. Like I spoke about earlier, when you have the translation, right? It was able to translate budget into begroting or begroting into budget, but then was able to actually put that into the conversation and transmit it over. Now, we have something very similar here at this very moment. I'm actually able to give telephony commands. The moment that I push this button, I put the customer on hold, I chop off the connection between the customer and that conference. I literally, not in the traditional sense, put a customer on hold, but I literally have put him in a waiting stage, and I'm no longer having this web user in the conference. If I now need an expert, because a customer has actually a question that I cannot answer as an agent, I also can request for resources. So I can, for example, try to find an expert on the Nokia phones. And also for that, we have made a very simple, of course, in the real products that are out there in the market now, right, that are built on these APIs, this is really looking as very slick software and not as rudimentary as what we have here. But if I'm looking for a specialist on the topic of the product Nokia or cell phone, a Nokia cell phone, and I'm looking here for a Nokia cell phone, the moment that I press escalate, it will actually start looking for an agent. So let me actually press this button, escalate. And if Alex, who is my specialist, he's called Manish in this demo, if he goes to available, because it only disturbs the person when this person is available, and at the moment that he actually answers yes, am I in there now? I'm on hold. Ah, look at this Indian guy here, Manish. That guy is now in the conference. And if I would like to say, hi, Manish, trust me that it's Alex who is going to type something back. Manish, however, is not using anything else than just the ordinary link. The whole concept of a contact center is essentially reduced to this concept of, what if I could represent a whole contact center interaction as a link online meeting, as a conference? And in that conference, I actually have APIs that can allow people to be put on hold, people to be conferenced in, people to be conferenced out in case I would like to kick them out. It's even possible in a moment, I will demonstrate that, to do that per modality. So in other words, if I'm going to demonstrate in a moment the supervisor, I could actually listen in into voice calls. So you say, hey, yeah, so Alex is saying it's real, I swear. Trust us that it is. And the moment that he actually hangs up or gets out, actually I could, just to show that this is a conference, I could actually kick him out as well. I can remove him from the... Oh, I could call him as well. Oh, here you can see all kinds of things. I'm now going off the demo script, which Alex's boss always says, don't do that. So, nevertheless, Alex can hang up and then he's no longer there. If I resume the call, at this very moment, I can actually talk to the customer again, and you can see agent here. All right, so here you, and here you can see how this whole concept of conferences happens, right? I just typed in SIP colon manishc@metio.ms when I had to enter my customer telephone number. Many people ask us, hey, what if you're now in a web chat and you actually would like to speak to this customer? We are a unified communications platform. And in unified communications, it's essentially in that conference, doesn't matter which modality I'm using. And I'm going to take a risk now. So it might be that I need to remote desktop into because I'm deviating from the script. But the moment that I press call me, if you are still available, Alex, it actually starts ringing me if everything goes well. Otherwise, we have the end of the demo.
I'm ringing.
It does not work. Ha! But
no, hold on. It's
if the demo, is it ringing?
Yeah.
Ah! So it's picking up me.
There it is.
You hear that I was connected because Alex is on his. If you mute as well, Alex.
Hold on. Sorry.
I just added the modality of audio. So, unified communications platform, the concept of a conference being able to be manipulated with APIs, this unified communications managed API allows you to effectively, through code, control all the communications paths that are available. And this is an incredibly powerful concept, right? Let me actually hang up. This is literally running on a server in my back office, so not a real professional contact center. There's dozens of real companies out there now that use these APIs in real products that you can buy, but they're all based on that same concept. You've got a conference and you conference people in. Let me actually see. So if Alex, if you can become Tosh at this very moment and sign in as Tosh, I'm going to sign in as a customer. And the customer in this particular case is called Kelly Kraut. So Kelly K at Metio. It could be because we have this concept of federation. Imagine now that you would have a customer who is on Link or, and they literally the day before I come here, they switched it off for a moment because they have some concerns about some security stuff, but otherwise I could have shown this live. But imagine that the customer is on Skype. And I'm going to show you that in a moment, but it will fail. But I, for the sake of the demo, I'm going to show it to you with Link. But now you've got a customer who is essentially going to contact the contact center. Now, you could do this just like I did just a second ago via the web client, right? So I can log in. I'm Kelly K. And I'm now an authenticated user. I can go to my account. By the way, you saw the authentication that I used there was just random whatever you have in your app, right? And I will show you that quite a few times in the next 30 minutes as well. But the moment that I go to my account, you can now see that there on the left-hand side are not people, but there is a present state of the help desk and sales that represent essentially the queues of where you would like to be connected to. So in this particular case, the queue is a set of people like Tosh that essentially are able to help. And the moment that I actually call or start a chat with this person, it already populates it here and I can put in a phone number and I can say okay. However, this time it doesn't know that what I'm calling about. I'm effectively now contacting an IVR, so it actually starts asking me, hey, what are you interested in? And this demo was written by a Frenchman, so they spell cell phones as one word. If I'm interested in a Nokia cell phone, and are you available at the moment, Alex? So at the moment that I say, I'm Nokia phone, Alex will get a prompt, he can say yes, and he is connected, and he's now talking to that agent again in a moment. You were, you're now connected, and the moment that Alex types hi, I can see this here, remote is typing, those are APIs that we have as well, and it should say here, Matthew agent says hi. that is not the path that I wanted to show. I wanted to show that this is truly unified communications, because at this very moment I could actually start the same interaction also as a phone call. So with other words, if I call this helpdesk at meteo.ms, it updates the status. This is now the same presence bubble that you see on the left-hand side, right? So this guy and this guy is the same. However, this is in the link client. And if I start a link call, let me actually unmute for a moment. It will hit that same IVR, but in the voice modality. Like I said, this is a server under my desk, so it takes a little while before it wakes up.
Welcome to the help desk. What type of product do you need help with? Cell phones, laptops, or desktops?
Cell phones.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that.
Lucky for us.
What type of product do you need help with? Cell brand of phones can we assist you with? HTC, Nokia, or Samsung? Please hold while we connect you.
Now at this very moment, this modality of the music on hold is being conferenced in. And at the moment that Alex goes to available, and he says yes, he's now being called, and he can pick it up. I should have shown this actually as a video call. Let's pick it up. You have to answer yes.
I said yes.
You have to answer the call. Now I, from that sound, you actually heard that I was connected via the audio channel. So Alex, you can say something.
Hello.
One more. So.
Hello.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Enough audio. But we are now connected in an audio connection. Now, what happens if I actually would be an agent at this point in time? So if I would be a supervisor at this point in time. If I am a supervisor, let me see. Oh, it hang up. Okay, let's actually not show the supervisor at this point in time because it hang up the call. But the supervisor, you can imagine, can just listen in into those calls, etc., etc. Now the interesting part, we are now effectively at Link 2010. We have a unified communications managed API. We can do all these type of things. The world changed radically on us. And dark clouds are above our heads. Because all of a sudden, the world of Microsoft, where everything was Windows, turned into a different world. Where we still have something like 90%+ market share on the desktop side. There all of a sudden was a second 100% where we had near to no market share, right? So it's the web world, the mobile world. So essentially what is happening at this very moment is that the product Link, as you know it, is going into an incredible transformation. We started thinking about, okay, hey, how can you actually live in a world which is not Windows-centric, but in a world that effectively is very much mobile. And in that context, we essentially started building APIs that are RESTful, that are fully web-based. And those RESTful APIs are the APIs that are the foundation that is now being disclosed little by little to you as developers and as companies. As part of, actually, it was part of this cumulative update one that was done in February of this year. So we are transforming to the web. And essentially what we are saying is the same as what we said when we started on our journey, when we start building the Link platform, namely that every application can become a communications endpoint, but effectively also every application that is a web page or is a mobile app can become a communications endpoint. Now this is a little bit of a point where there's a lot of discussion going on in our group. Because one of the reasons why we think that we are very successful is that If you have Link, it actually guarantees a certain user experience. It guarantees a level of quality. It guarantees that your voice calls actually have a good quality and can adapt to different bit rates. But if you go to the wild, wild west of mobile networks and of web way, of things in web, you actually need to start thinking differently about, okay, hey, what can the network be? So in other words, if we are talking about the modalities that I'm showing here, I showed you the chat one, but what if I could actually do also a call, but then using just a web page? In Microsoft, let me actually show you that as a Microsoft employee. Oh, of course, I need to start with my alias. Inside Microsoft, the first challenge that we, when we started looking at this, was very close to the world in 2010. It was, how can you actually reduce my cost as a company in people who are looking for help? So you are an enterprise, and every time when someone calls you, in, especially in the United States, you have a 1-800 number. And you pick up the cost for effectively all that time that a customer spends on actually selecting the options, right? It's the same IVR. So if I dial our help desk in Microsoft, it's 65,000. And I actually call this help desk. It's going to take me...
Welcome to the Microsoft Service Desk.
Help Desk is excited to announce a new way to contact support. Simply open the link, search for Help Desk IT, then say hello. Follow the UI to get connected.
For network connection support, press 1.
Now, this is not the exciting part, but 52 seconds it takes before you are at your destination. And I think in Microsoft we have about 150,000 calls per month to our help desk from our own employees. It's quite a bit of money that goes into there. So I was actually starting to think about, and you actually heard the lady in very intelligible English say that, I started thinking about, hey, what can you actually do to replace that? So the first thing that I came up with was, okay, let me actually show it. This is what it is, the experience now that Microsoft people get. So they say hi. And the IVR is now represented, as soon as it loads, it will be represented as little blocks on which you can click. This is not a very good experience over the network. Let me actually show you the first prototype that I built. I say hi. And I've got my options of my help desk. And they are represented on the left-hand side in the IM modality. If I would call it, it would actually be represented in the voice modality. But what is new is on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side, in the conversation window extension, I've got an IVR menu. That's why you see the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that are like a dial pad on your telephone. And if I have a question about a specific topic, I click on this thing. And if I clicked on Windows 8, I would be put straight into that queue of all my experts that I have in Windows 8. So not only within a matter of seconds, I can actually make my choice, I have the visual representation of that IVR tree, right? Like if I go here, I do not need to wait until they are at connectivity and then password reset. With literally a few clicks, I can actually do this. And I, of course, I could have done it here as well, right? I can do this via the IM modality if I would have been on Skype and I would not have this conversation window extension. And the moment that I click on it, I actually can get connected. Now, this is still using Silverlight and this is in the Link client, but actually take this now to the next level. What if I could actually do the same type of activity into, let me see which browser I've got it open in, into the web page. So this is a web page, it's a Chrome browser. I've got my IVR here. I have now my help page on my website. And instead of having to pay the 1-800 number cost of the particular customer, dialing into me, I'm actually going to give that exact same experience that I showed just a second ago. This is my main menu, and I've got a question about Office. Oh. And then I've got all the different programs. And the moment that I would click one of these programs, I actually start getting connected to that person. I spoke about, imagine that your customers, and unfortunately this demo is bust, so it will show you, but it will fail, because like I said, it just disabled it without informing me that I was here at this trade show. But if I have, for example, this one, and I have a question about connectivity, what, imagine if this customer is actually on Skype, and it will fail, because like I said, we just turned it off. But the concept that we are working on is that if essentially you can see the world as moving to the internet, to the data network, endpoints that are part of this Microsoft ecosystem at this very moment, like Skype and Link, they could just leverage and dial in straight using the data network, bypassing the ordinary telephony network for which you pay, or your customers pay. You can dial in straight into that same contact center that you have here. Now, one of the things that are being asked then is, what about all the different other modalities, and what about all the different other things? And I have never done this demo yet, so this is the first time I'm actually literally going to try it, because we built it last night. I don't know, how many of you do actually know the Link web app? The Link web app is the Link client for meetings, ported to HTML5 and a media plugin. So, if I am an agent, here, by the way, you see Do Not Disturb presenting, that was the string that I said earlier. Let me log in as an agent again. Alex, if you can set yourself to busy, so that we are not conflicting in a moment. I'm logging in back as my agent. This agent is not only an expert on Nokia, but also an expert on Windows 8. So if I am a customer, and I'm in this web page, and I've got a question about Windows, and I've got a question about Windows 8, what happens at this point in time, you can see here, by the way, the URL, because it's a little bit slow. And this is no Silverlight, but it's now contacting the ACD directly. It is essentially using the Unified Communications Web API to connect to an agent that is available. And I'm joining the conference call. And the customer gets this URL, and forgive us for not having polished this yet, because like I said, we built this last night. But the moment that the customer clicks on this link, what happens is we start the Link web app, and I can say I'm Albert. And I actually never talk to yourself on the same computer. But what you saw just a second ago is now I'm actually connected via an audio call using the Link web client to my contact center. That same contact center that I showed you just a second ago, the same agent. But the consumer at this very moment is not a Link user, but is using the Link technology and can get all the features that Link has. I showed you just a moment ago, I showed you the communication via audio, because that's the primary channel that we had configured this as. But for example, if I would like to do video, this is a web page, right? And I press start video. And now on this side, join the video call. I should have maybe started it the other way around. The customer is on the web page. It's using the technology from the Link web app, clicked on that nice, which we should have formatted as a nice button where they had to press. I'm now able to do a video conference with my high-value customer, and I can speak, because this is not only video, this is audio as well, right? So, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And we have all the modalities that we need. If a customer would like to say, yeah, but I see something different on my screen, we can coach the customer, because this UI could have been slightly different. Oh, whereas no one is presenting. Oh, because I'm not a presenter yet. Let me actually show you the other way around. So if I go to here, if I promote this one, to a presenter. At this very moment, if the customer would like to show their desktop, the agent, using their ordinary link, in a moment, will get the invite to see the customer's desktop. And you get a surreal effect of seeing a picture in a picture in a picture. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Every modality, unified communications, is now visible, end to end. And it's based on that concept that I explained earlier, this unified communications managed API. When we build a contact center, you essentially are able to give whatever modality that you have also to your customers. This is going to that conference, so I have control. I can pull in more people into this conference, and we could have a joint conference call. But I essentially can see, if I want to, the customer face-to-face using video, or I can see the actual desktop or whatever you are familiar with in Link. And like I said, this is a Chrome browser, right? This is not a Link client. Now, the question is all the time that I'm being asked, so I better ask it before you ask me, is what does the customer need to install? You might have heard there of a concept called WebRTC, the standardization effort that's going on in the IETF and W3C. Essentially tries to at least get rid of having to download and install, like what you need to do currently with the Link web app, the plugin that effectively does the transcoding of the media. So in other words, I cheated here a little bit, because prior to actually showing you this demo, I actually had used the Link web app already in my Chrome browser, but at this very moment, there is still this initial install. However, more and more browsers over time will build the codecs into their actual browser. And that's what I referred to as WebRTC just a moment ago. And as long as you can actually provide the same codec to actually talk to each other, like for example, Microsoft is using for video H.264 SVZ. If their endpoint is also supporting H.264 SVC, we will be able to see each other's video. If we are using G711, what everyone is using, that's the codec for ordinary telephony, you are able already now, literally you are able now with a Firefox or Chrome browser to dial in straight into a contact center of Link if you effectively copy the code that I have here. So with other words, you are able to actually make an audio call straight into your contact center by not downloading anything. You will get only the lousiest telephony quality, by the way, which we have been using for a century, so it's not that lousy. But you are only able to use this ordinary telephony quality, and you're not able to do video yet, because video is a chaos in the standardization of codecs. You're not able to do desktop sharing, but you are able to actually get a call straight into your contact center by building a mashup, like I have done here, of an API that we will present in great detail, which is called the Unified Communications Web API, and overlay that with the codecs that are available through WebRTC in the browsers at this very moment in Chrome and in Firefox. So I stop presenting here. I exit the meeting, and we are back to our app. Now, every application becomes an endpoint. The biggest challenge that we have when we are talking about this is that this all works as long as you're on a desktop, because those plugins are available typically on a Windows desktop, but they are not available on mobile platforms. So what many people do not realize is that when we are talking about browser technology and things being built into the browser, the whole phenomenon around apps on iOS or apps on Android or on Windows Phone, they are all sandboxed. They are not able to use plugins. Even modern Windows 8 apps, they don't allow plugins. So what do you actually need to do to actually bring that same concept that I just demonstrated to the mobile world? Let me first show you what actually is possible at this very moment, right? So we built an application which we actually built it before there was a similar concept. Demos and then cap. Imagine you are an ordinary, leave this page, yes. You're an ordinary customer, and this ordinary customer, here we are actually in the world of paying apps. So the first thing that we as Microsoft require, but has nothing to do with our technology, but if you want to do a credit card transaction, you ask people to log in. Live. Here it is. I'm a customer on a mobile phone. So imagine that this is not a desktop, this is just a browser. And this particular application actually says, hey, I would like to use your presence, your location. I am going to allow it. And boom, I'm in Madrid. Again, nothing to do with my APIs. This is Bing. What, however, I am going to do now is this is a customer that is looking for a particular cab. So if I would like to go to the Madrid airport, oh, if I'm looking for a cab, it would, of course, be useful that there are also cab drivers. So let me actually go to my desktop here. And I've got a modern app here, which is called Hail a Cab. And in this modern app, I'm logging in as a taxi driver. And here, Ike has been signed in. Ike is actually not in Madrid, so this is going to be a very long ride. Let me actually see if I can change that. Hello. Give me the charms bar. Give me the settings. It says I'm able to use my geolocation, so come on. Well, nevertheless, the guy is present. Here, by the way, you can see available again, and you can actually set him to a break. And then he goes to away. This is using this Unified Communications Web API. And this Unified Communications Web API is not recognizable as link whatsoever. However, it is a communications path through which I can transmit information from one customer to effectively a task worker, in this case a taxi driver. So let's go back to this particular customer. And this customer would like to go to the Madrid airport. Do I spell it correctly? Not sure whether Bing is going to find this, by the way. It's now locating a driver, so I actually have to go back to my driver. Let's hope that they... Yep. Oh. Something is crashing very badly here. Ha! All right. Something, I think, is wrong with my machine here. So you saw just a second ago that it tried to contact the driver. Let's see if one more time if it is able to connect. It says locating customer. Right, requested, and it crashes. Bad demo. I told you so far the demos have been pretty smooth, but at this very moment, what would have happened is that there would be established a communication between the taxi driver and the customer, and I would have been able to IM with each other. So what we are working on, and tomorrow we will have a great detailed presentation about this Unified Communications Web API, but we are effectively porting those server APIs that I spoke about and the client APIs that we spoke about to one API that can be absorbed or, consumed, that's the right word, consumed in any type of OS because it is a RESTful API. And that RESTful API is essentially allowing us to be present in any app. And that ties back to how I started my presentation. We would like to turn every application into a communications endpoint. And with that, I would like to leave 5 minutes for questions and answers. Like I said, tomorrow we will continue in great detail about that Unified Communications Web API. That's a level 400 session. And we are going to try to explain to you all the deep concepts that we have on how you actually can take a concept of real-time communications that has been around for a century in the telephone world and how we actually ported that from the old world into complete real-time web APIs by using RESTful APIs and a concept called hypermedia. And we will even discuss a little bit more about this whole concept around WebRTC and how, if you are talking about bringing communications to any device without any plugins, how you actually can overlay the APIs that we have in Link and how we can actually marry them with the media that is going to become available to us in the WebRTC standardization efforts that we are involved in. With that, I would like to use the last 5 minutes for questions and answers. Anyone? The question is Skype. What happens with Skype in the future? Skype is Skype. Let's actually talk about that a little bit more in detail, right? If you look at... actually, I have got a slide about that. So I try to stay away from the presentations, but I think it's useful to actually show you this slide. Here it is. What I essentially told you just a second ago is that we started our journey as communications as a software, right? Then we had Gurdeep say, okay, we need to build something that is horizontal, unified communications. And I told you in 2010 we came, or 2007, we came to the realization we need to build telephony features. And then we actually over-pivoted on that because we are not only a PBX, but we also can do video. There's a lot of video stuff and meeting stuff going on. And now we are entering into the stage about the real-time web. If you are talking about the real-time web, to answer your question, what actually is going on in the world at this very moment was that if you look back, you had the fixed telephony network. People pick up the phone. Then in the 90s, we had this incredible growth of the mobile network. What happens at this very moment is there is a third network that is arising. And that is the network of the over-the-top network, essentially communications over a data network. And the biggest phenomenon in that transition at this very moment is Skype. 340 million users log in every month in order to do phone calls over a data network. You must have heard about WhatsApp. You must have heard about all the other competing products of Skype. And now you actually need to start thinking about, okay, hey, if you would like to become a communications network that is used over the data network, what are the things that you actually need in order to be successful there? I showed you a lot of the technology about, hey, I need audio, I need video, I need to have it programmable, and I need to be able to charge for it, etc. But what many people do not realize is that the reason why you choose a network is because you can find people. In the telephony network, you dial a number. But how are you going to find people in a data network unless you have effectively an Active Directory or a live ID where you actually can search for people? Or if you imagine, what is actually the biggest phone book in the world? Facebook. So in other words, communications is going to be absolutely useless unless you are able to find people. So I read this, I think, incredibly naive type of articles currently about, hey, WebRTC is going to kill Skype. And I'm all the time thinking, and with what directory? Now, to come back to your question, what about Skype and what about the future of Skype? Microsoft, as one of the very few companies, has the capital to effectively build a communications, a unified communications network that is spanning the globe. We have so many users. And all those users that actually many people now all the time ask us, hey, in Skype now I need to use a Microsoft account. Oh, when I log into Windows 8, I need to use a Microsoft account. You actually then now realize that we are building the largest phone book in the world. There are people in my team that are investigating how to build an Active Directory for 1 billion people. And how can you actually control communication so that not anyone can call anyone? How can you actually, that infrastructure that I showed about how to do meetings, it is mixing, right? It is an incredible computing power problem that you have there because you are doing transcoding, you're transmitting data over the data, network, over the internet. There are only a few companies in the world that actually can afford to build a network with that computing power across the world. Google is one of them. What is Google doing? They are tying Hangouts very tightly to their Google Plus. Google Plus is their phone book. Anytime now in the US and Canada, you already can see that Facebook, and we know that because some of our very capable ex-colleagues are working there. They already have phone calls. So with other words, there are going to be new networks. And I'm not saying that the fixed network is going to go away. There is not going to be going away the mobile network. But there will be a third network where everyone can talk with anyone. Now, if you're looking at it from a Microsoft perspective, for us, Skype is an incredible asset in people who are in our phone book. For us, actually, to bring the Skype people together with the Link people, and I'm actually not saying the Link people, that should not be the word. If I can actually show to every enterprise that if they would like to do an IVR and they do not need to pay telephony costs anymore, and they can not only do a phone call, but they can do a video call and they can do their app sharing, etc., that's an incredible value to an enterprise. Imagine your company having a contact center where you can just say, customer, show me your screen. Let's fill out that form together. If you are in a bank and you have a mortgage application, I would like to see who I'm going to give my mortgage to. That is the thing that we are currently working on. The first phase is that you now can do not only chats between Skype and Link, but you can also do phone calls. And I told you, I tried to show you that how you can make a Skype call straight into a Link contact center. Unfortunately, they just switched it off. They have to fix some things, but you will be able to make from every Skype endpoint. And Skype, they have 340 million now, maybe they have 400 million users next year, whatever. That is not the end game. The end game is that if you started OCS 2007 and you had the presence bubble in front of the name, from that moment onwards, your application has become a telephone. Not only a telephone, it has become anything. And that is what is happening now. Every software that we have in Microsoft is essentially going to be a starting point of a conversation. It's going to be a starting point of that conference that I showed just a second ago as a contact center. So if I'm starting a Word document, the Word document of the future is effectively voice-enabled. If the second person comes into the same document, I can see there is a second person. I can immediately talk to that person if I wish to. That other person, of course, can ignore you as well, just like in Link. But that is the transition that is happening. So Skype is incredibly important to us. But on the other hand side, it is more of the transition in technology, which is the bigger play that is happening. So I hope that that actually clarifies what I think is the vision of where we are working towards. And therefore, the web API that we are going to present tomorrow is incredibly important because you need to be on every mobile device, you need to be on every web page, you need to be everywhere. And you need to be able to tie that to that telephone book. And you need to be able to secure that. If you're an enterprise, I do not want to be randomized by everyone who's calling me. I want to be able to say this yes, this person yes, this person no. If this person contacts me, I would like to actually store every conversation that I have in a database that can be looked up by the NSA or by someone else. Sorry, that was a bad joke. You understand, right? There's this whole security aspect to it. So that's the reality. Any other questions? Anyone? Last minute?
Roadmap.
Ha! In the new world of Microsoft, there are no roadmaps. No, there was actually a very important speech that Tony Bates, the president of our Skype division to which Link belongs at this very moment, he announced a whole series of features of what is coming in Link for sure. The Skype Federation being one, or Skype connectivity, we need to call it. He also spoke about that if you are using Cisco Video, which is one codec, you now can buy third-party products for incredible, expensive prices. We will make that part of our product. We are building our own gateway from H.264 AVC to SVC. He spoke about features of how we essentially are going to provide more audio capabilities, more tie-in to the old PSTN network. And I recommend you actually watch that presentation if you want to get an impression of what is coming in the next, he called it 12 to 18 months. But usually we are on this cadence of 1.5 to 2 years, where you actually can see what the next Link server will be. I do know, however, one thing that people do not register, and that is that the moment that I spoke about this vision that every Word document effectively becomes a telephone, with it actually belongs this whole vision of the cloud. In other words, you can only do that if you are both on a network, if that document is stored in Office 365 or in SkyDrive, etc. So it is not only a roadmap for the server. What is actually happening in Microsoft is we are effectively building this cloud infrastructure in Office 365 where all those features that you know of Office, of Exchange, SharePoint, and Link, and potentially also Dynamics in the future, they're effectively becoming one toolbox with which you as an enterprise can say, I would like to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and this is the bill that I pay to Microsoft, and then I can do all those things together. So where now there are very strict servers, there's one Exchange server, one Link server, one SharePoint server, you already in Link 2010 could see there's no more archiving. Well, there is still some archiving in Link for backward compatibility, but the real discovery and archiving is actually now stored in Exchange. And you, if you are doing, let's say, discovery applications for compliance, it is one product that actually controls Exchange, Link, and SharePoint. And that will not only be able to be hooked up to on-prem, but also to the cloud. So there is a roadmap, not only with product features, like I said, Tony Bates' speech was a very good overview of that, but there is also this whole vision of where we are effectively taking this into, yeah, essentially what happened with Office when Word and Excel became the Office suite. Office 365 is where SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and Office became one suite that is effectively available in the cloud. Any other questions? Then I thank you very much. Please fill out the eval.